Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. Trubisky to the 42-yard line. Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player inside Craywood, too. He made it. He's got it. Steamboat's like Russell. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Is the telephone number. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I'll follow you back guaranteed. Also on Instagram, IGJHood, as we broadcast live from our First Midwest Bank studios.
It's the way banking is supposed to be.
On the program tonight, we will hear from Chris Bleck from our ESPN 1000 staff. He's my partner when we do our NBA For the Love of the Pod podcast. We do an NBA podcast once a month. Have you heard about this? Have you seen this? We do this once a month. And Chris is going to be with us to give us his thoughts about the NBA trade deadline. Also, Antonio Daniels from SiriusXM NBA Radio, an NBA champion with the Spurs. We'll get his thoughts on what happened today. Coming up at 8:10, Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Also, we'll hear from a four-time NBA champion, NBC Sports Zone, good old number 32, Will Perdue, will be with us coming up at 9:10. And Bobby Marks, also the front office insider for ESPN.com. We will get his thoughts coming up later on in our 9 o'clock hour as well. And plenty of time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hope that you had a great Thursday. Hope you have a great Thursday night. As we keep you company until 10 o'clock, then it's Dan Levitard and the Stu Gods right here on ESPN 1000. This is our NBA trade deadline special. This is what our show is tonight. And the reason why that we really need to address what's going on, not just with the Bulls, but also in the NBA, is because of change. You could see clearly, even if you're not the most ardent NBA fan or Bulls fan, you could see the change that's happening in the league. If you're a fan of the Bulls with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Tony Kukoc, Dennis Rodman, the good old days of the Chicago Stadium / the early days of the United Center, and you're into the NBA at that point, and you've kind of gone away from the NBA for the last 21 years, you haven't really realized that there's a change in the league. One of the things that stands out to me as far as change is the word perception. Perception. When you look up the word perception on dictionary.com, the ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through the senses, the state of being or process of becoming aware of something through the senses. That's the definition of the word perception. John Paxson of the Bulls, Brain Trust, firmly believes that there is a perception on his basketball team, that he's trying to fight the perception around the Chicago Bulls. I'll tell you something that I heard today driving in.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
On the Chicago Bulls flagship station, John Paxson granted an interview. Of course, he's got to go there because it's the home of the Bulls. Figured he'd get a soft landing. And so he goes there, and he's asked the same questions that you have, the same questions that I have, about why the Bulls have to go through their second, arguably their third rebuild here in 2019. And he talks about perception and talks about how in this day and age, in 2019, in this market, in this city that I grew up in, that is not a destination for free agents. Now, you and I both know the very few names of note that did sign with Chicago. The Ben Wallace's of the world and the Carlos Boozer's of the world. But you know that those are not necessarily A-list free agents. You can throw Pau Gasol in there as well. Solid players, but not A-list free agents. Here's what I mean when I'm talking about change. I remember doing a show like this no more than, say, 10 years ago. When we talked about the importance of big markets in the NBA, where we talked about how the NBA is able to stand on its legs because you need to have the importance of New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and Houston and Dallas. You got to make sure that Boston is taken care of and all of the major markets around the NBA, because that's where the free agents want to go, because you want to go there because of the off the court money that you can get. And being representative of a big market. Those things were really big in the Stern era of the NBA. But the change and the perception has changed here in 2019, in which you're seeing stars willing to stay in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, of all places, to be able to play basketball. They'd rather be in the Bay Area. They'd rather be in Portland. They'd rather be in Minnesota playing for the Timberwolves. They'd rather be in Brooklyn. They'd rather be in some of these other cities other than this one here, this world-class city that you and I live in. They'd rather be in these other places. Again, we're not in the Stern era, which it was important to be able to have those stars here, because you see stars all across the league. A lot of stars across the league. Plenty of them. So it's really changed in that regard. You know what the Chicago Bulls have been and what they are right now? The Bulls are a neighborhood that you just don't want to drive your family through anymore, and a neighborhood that you don't want to live in. That's what the Chicago Bulls are, because of that word perception that John Paxson fears, saying that, you know, hey, the perception around the league, and we're just not a place for free agents to want to come. For him to say that in the press conference today is so telling. It's truthful, but it's telling. But you got to understand something. You have to understand that it was Gar and Pax and also Michael Reinsdorf that made this perception, that built this perception. It's one thing to be unlucky as a franchise for a year or 2 or 3 years. It's okay to be able to look at it and say, you know what, we just didn't make the right moves. But when you have 3 rebuilds to try to get this right, that's unheard of. And you're on the same treadmill of mediocrity. That's exactly what we're seeing here with the Chicago Bulls. We talk about the Bulls with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Not to be able to lure free agents to the Bulls is troublesome, but also on top of that, what's also troublesome is the fact that they seemingly can't develop enough young players to be able to be a real player in the NBA playoffs, to get to the playoffs and actually be a mainstay in the NBA playoffs. I said this last night, and I'll tell you again, that the NBA is based on dynasties. Everyone's not blessed enough to be able to win a championship. You win a championship here, we win another new NBA champion next year, new NBA champion the next year. It's not quite like that. You know that. But I just want to reinforce the point that all throughout this league, it's been about dynasties. A lot of it comes down to the Celtics and the Lakers in the history of this league. But you still can put yourself in the mix of one of the top 16 teams in the NBA to at least get to the playoffs. There is value of getting to the playoffs. And there is an old school mom and pop shop approach to this Bulls team that is just unacceptable to me. It's unacceptable because the reality is, when we hear in the press conference that with the rest of the remaining money that's left out there after this Otto Porter deal, that's going to be, you're just going to bring in veterans to try to work with young players. That's not the league today. Why would you even say that? we're just going to, you know, the rest of the cap money, we're just going to have a few veterans there that can kind of help the culture and try to help the young players. That doesn't, what is that? What is that? That's not the NBA today. Let me tell you what the NBA is today. The NBA today is a league in which if you have assets, right? If you have assets that's right there in front of you through the draft, you're able to cultivate those guys, and if they can't help you right away, you got to move them out. That's one thing. The second thing is that you have to be a place where you can be a player in free agency at the table. And whatever the controversy is around the Bulls, whether it's because they are cheap or because of the ineptitude or the way they handle people that they fire, if that is the issue, if you're Michael Reinsdorf, you have to make a change. You have to make a change. Now, because your organization is worth so much money and because the turnstiles continue to click at the United Center, that's one thing. But I would be embarrassed if I was Michael Reinsdorf. I'd be embarrassed. Sure, he sees the dividend checks, and sure, he sees the money that comes across from all the people that come to United Center and all the money that's made being a Chicago Bulls franchise. But along with that should be a willingness to want to win. Championship pedigree. Yes, you're the winner when it comes to going to the bank. Congratulations to you. But where's your championship when it comes to being a perennial playoff team, an organization that people trust, and an organization in which you can get free agents that want to come there because they like the Chicago Bulls organization? Sure, hey, there's a lot of places for NBA players to go. But why is Chicago toward the bottom? It's because of the perception that's out there, the perception that you created. The perception is reality when it comes to the Chicago Bulls. And John Paxson and Gar Forman could continue to fight and want to fight with the media and talk about, what was the quote that I heard earlier today? So I'm not saying that it was like in these interviews he has are more like interrogations, the interviews. Dude, if you can't take it, go work for Michael in Charlotte where there's no expectations. Go to Phoenix where there's no expectations. But in this city where there was six NBA championship banners in 8 years, and Paxson was part of it as a player, there is an expectation there from a certain generation of Bulls fans that expect, if nothing else, to be in the playoffs. He's got to start. The problem with John Paxson is that this ain't Notre Dame. We're just not going to just cover you like you're a college player and that we're just some small podunk city where it's like, oh, the Bulls lost, but that's okay. We'll give them another chance for a 4th rebuild. It's okay. Yeah, there's fans that go to the United Center. Those Robitaille sheep that just continue to go there thinking that they're going to see something special. But you had to open your eyes and see what's happening here. And what's happening here is that it's just not good enough. Not being one of the top 16 teams in the NBA in the playoffs is just not good enough. As far as the Otto Porter trade is concerned, the Otto Porter trade that took place in which the Bulls are able to get Otto Porter Jr. from the Washington Wizards, trading Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker, and a protected 2023 second round draft pick that happened last night when we came on the air, I had no problem with that deal. Otto Porter Jr. being a part of this team is fine. The thing that is troublesome to me is that the Bulls expect for Otto Porter Jr. to be able to raise the level of his play to something different than it was when he's with the Wizards. He was the third option offensively behind Wall and Beal. And so there was this thought that, well, Otto Porter Jr. played better when Wall was down on the floor. Okay, so now there's going to be a growth spurt with Otto Porter Jr. quickly. And I don't know how that works with him and Zach LaVine. They expect for it to work, but I just want to be able to hammer this point home. This acquisition is a lot of money that the Bulls are eating because Porter, who's 25, averaged 12.6 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 2 assists, making $26 million this season, is owed $27 million next season with a player option for 2020 and 2021. Cool. Who's going to coach him? You can continue to talk about players and development and that old school approach and try to go at a slow pace, as if everyone's got to just going to just sit back and watch the slow pace of the Chicago Bulls trying to work and try to win a championship. The point is that who's going to coach him? There's nothing so far this season that tells me that Jim Boylan can make this team a playoff team. It's not fair for the fans. It's not fair for those that are watching this team to watch this team go about their business like it's the 1990s. John Paxson was asked, is Jim Boylan going to be back with the Bulls next year? In his press conference, and he said,
KC asked you about Jim Boylan, and obviously this is just as of today. Things are fluid, things will change.
Yeah.
The feeling is you guys are committed to him for next season. Is that the feeling as of today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you're in it every day with somebody, you find out who they are. And the one thing we're really pleased about, and we talked to Jim about because we're such a young team, is just the teaching component of the game to our guys consistently every day. You know, the early, that first week with the whole Boston game, and then, you know, that was a bad way to start. But when you're in it with him every day, you see his passion, commitment, and the care he has for his players and our organization. So we feel he's doing the right things, and he's trying to get our guys to understand what being a professional is, and to play hard every night, so, and to practice hard every day. So it's we're doing fine with Jim. And Jim's been great in terms of communicating with every single day. So we're on a good page there.
We're doing fine with Jim. If you're doing fine with Jim, the team would be winning more, and there wouldn't be this shroud of controversy whether or not there was a mutiny or not. And again, whether or not you believe that story is true or not, it was all these published reports out there about how the players felt about being able to practice after getting their ass whooped by over 50 points in one game. So just understand that the Bulls can spend whatever they want to spend, but you know, like I know, that that's not good enough. If you're really serious about trying to establish a culture, that you find the right coach for that culture. There's no reason why Jim Boylan can't be an interim until you can find the right guy. Or at least let Jim prove himself for the rest of the season instead of just saying, oh, this is the right guy. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me at all. Does not make sense. As far as the free agency is concerned, is it a black eye for the Bulls to be out on big free agents?
No, not at this time. We're trying to get there. We were part of the deal years ago when LeBron and those guys were out. We didn't get them, but we were part of that process then. Okay, we were in the game, as New York will be in the game, I'm sure, this summer. We are not at that stage. Is it a black eye? No, I don't consider it that. That's our aspiration. We've understood that the process we're in right now is hoping to get to that point. But we also believe that the draft is very important in order to build to get to there. And that's why we are sitting here, you know, a year and a half after trading Jimmy, with Larry Markin and Wendell Carter out of the draft, another high draft pick coming up. And time will tell. But I'm confident in our ability to get there because we've done it before. And we understand that as painful as it is for us, our fans, everybody else, that we have to remain patient and continue consistently making the decisions we're making.
Yeah, you can remain patient when you're comfortable in the chair. And this is all on Michael Reinsdorf. I know that there is a long thread of you on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, saying, you know, fire guard packs, you're ready to see something new. I totally understand it. I totally get it. Because the view of the Bulls is the same as a team that's underachieving and not a team that's a perennial playoff team trying to climb their way in to be able to win an NBA championship. I totally get it. But Michael Reinsdorf is a guy that I'm putting my slings and arrows at because that's not good enough. He's got to understand that you have to be able to find something new, something different, a fresh set of eyes for this organization. That's not good enough, what they have been doing here. You know it, and I know it. You have to be able to find your Theo Epstein. You got to be able to find that. And I think that if you're Michael Reinsdorf and you look at what's happening now, and you can talk about trying to slow play it and trying to talk about development, but in a LeBronless East, it's embarrassing that the Bulls are not really in the mix to be one of the top eight teams. You shouldn't, if you have more question marks than actual short things on your roster, that tells you more than everything that you need to know. Am I right or wrong about that? Tell me I'm wrong about that. You can't have all these question marks and say, well, if he develops and if this player does well and if Zach LaVine is quality and if Chris Dunn is good. I mean, what are the what ifs? You got to be able to be sure about something, multiple players on your roster. And I don't see how that's going to change next year either. Otto Porter Jr. is going to be able to be a nice scorer for the Chicago Bulls. He's going to be a piece. He won't be the reason why the Bulls are going to win a whole bunch of games by himself. But I think that he's going to be a nice piece for the Bulls. And then what? Now you're depending on Zach LaVine, who has, I think, that has gone backwards offensively this season. I look at a guy like Chris Dunn in and out of the lineup. I think that you're banking on Markkanen to be a nice player, which I do like Lauri Markkanen. But it's got to be more than that. What's your core and what's your plan? The other thing, too. Still don't even understand what the plan is for the Chicago Bulls. What are you trying to accomplish? If you're just saying that, well, it's not going to be this year and it's not going to be next year and we won't be able to get free agents. This move with Otto Porter is about free agency, saying that, well, we can't get free agents, so this is your free agent. This is the splash that the Bulls made. Great. Now what? It just keeps spinning their wheels and making excuses and talking about, I mean, the LeBron sweepstakes. Who wasn't in the LeBron sweepstakes? There's like five or six teams that are in there. They just stopped over on the way to New York. In the mix. The fifth option out of five? Wade and LeBron, they all stopped by. But the Bulls were not serious contenders for the big three to come together and be in Chicago. One of them came here, and he was only here for a cup of coffee. Dwayne Wade. How about the interest of Otto Porter before the season? Gar Anpak decided to weigh in on this.
I can let Gar speak to these things because Gar's the one who speaks to all the teams and the general managers. And, I can tell you as an organization, you keep your eye on players all around the league. So, but Gar can talk more about the details.
I don't know. There's always dialogue, 12 months a year. And whether it's on the phone or you're seeing guys out scouting, at Summer League, at GM meetings, wherever it is. So, like an Otto situation, we've expressed interest several times in him over the last year, I would say. Both Ernie and Tommy Shepard, who's his assistant. So it's interesting just in doing so by showing interest. We never got into any really serious talks. But by doing so, when they made the decision, because I'd even read as of a week ago where they had said their ownership had come out and said they weren't going to make moves and they weren't going to trade anybody. And obviously they made a decision for whatever reason that's going on there that they were going to explore moving him, that they called us, and that's where the talks got started.
So that's there from Gar Anpak on Otto Porter Jr. There you go. To me, when I think about the entire NBA and I look at all the way down to the bottom of the Eastern Conference, I see the Bulls. It is just really disappointing to see a team just floundering, a once proud organization just floundering. It's exactly what they are. Just floundering. Make excuses, injury here, injury there. There's always something. Well, with this team, hopefully the arrow will be pointing up sometime soon. Because it really absolutely sucks to even spend this much time on a franchise that is struggling like the Bulls are. Struggling. And the reason why is because of the word perception. A quality free agent that would come through the doors at the United Center or two would really help the fortunes of the Bulls. But because of the perception that's out there about the Bulls, the perception that the Bulls put on themselves, if they're wondering where it's coming from, all this thought about, well, maybe Chicago's not the right place to be. Chicago is not the spot for top-notch free agents. If they're wondering where the perception is of all of these question marks about the Bulls and why the Bulls are not one of the top eight teams in the East and why they can't seem to be always in the mix for the top names in the NBA, if they're wondering where the perception is coming from, they should look in the mirror.
Jonathan Hood.
So pay attention to my word, because it's the true truth. Meditation is the mind that brings the youth. Yeah. It's like a verse you could never read out of a book. Dropping the line in your mind like a fish hook.
On ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Glad to be with you. Full NBA trade deadline special. We'll hear from Antonio Daniels, an NBA champion, and from SiriusXM NBA Radio with me coming up at 8:10. Well, we'll do some Tales from the Hood. Got to do that because got to smile after today, after the press conference from the Bulls and what the Bulls have done. We'll have Tales from the Hood coming up at 8:35 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. But I think it's pretty simple. That if you are rooting for this team, you're looking for something better. I think we're all looking for something better. Because I said this about the Bears, and I'll say this about the Bulls. It is so much easier to talk about a team that's on the rise, a team that is playoff bound. It's much easier to talk about a team that's doing well than a team that's always languishing and always just floundering. And that's exactly where the Bulls are right now. It's a team that just continues to... You know, you hear the excuses or reasons, however you want to classify it, and to me, it's just not good enough. 12-42 is just not good enough in this city. It just isn't. You look at the core of Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Otto Porter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, as well as Robin Lopez, and I don't know why Robin Lopez is still on this roster. Don't understand. I mean, there's a guy there that needs to be with the Warriors or some other team because he's given a yeoman's-like effort. Doing the best he can. But I think that he shouldn't be on this roster. Keep in mind also, and some of the stuff that you already know, but I just need to put it out there on the record that because of this move that took place yesterday, it's not like the Bulls are going to be in the top three, top four, top five when it comes to the draft. You know, and if you thought that maybe the Bulls would be down there with Atlanta or the Knicks or the Suns trying to battle for, you know, Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett, or Jay Morant. It's not happening. So that once again, the Bulls will find a nice pick somewhere, 6, 7, 8, but it won't be one of the top three guys in the draft. And again, that's unfortunate. But when you look at the core, okay, the future of the Bulls really is Wendell Carter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, as well as Chandler Hutchinson. That's really the core of the team. There's Archie Diacono, there's Antonio Blankney, and there's G League talent on the team like Raleigh Alkins and Brandon Sampson. But when you're talking about the future and trying to figure out what the future is going to be in the next three, four years, you're hoping that Carter Jr. and Markkanen and Hutchinson can be something for you if you are the Bulls. But because the lineup I just gave you of Otto Porter Jr., you're trying to accelerate what Otto Porter is now and thinking that, well, away from Wall and Beal, he'll really be able to flourish. We don't know that. And I'll tell you something else. Bulls don't know that either. But I think that the deal is sound. But I just, once again, just trying to determine the direction of the ball club. That's the thing I'm looking for. It's just like you have Chris Dunn. There is Zach LaVine. There is Markkanen. But then what's the next thing? Where are you going to be in 3 years? And by the way, who's going to coach him? Something else I'm also concerned about as well. Who's going to coach him? By the way, this is coming from Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN.com. After considering the possibility of shutting down all-star center Anthony Davis, the Pelicans plan to allow Davis back into the lineup for the rest of the regular season. Through sources, despite Pelicans' concerns about its prized asset, possibly getting injured and losing value in the trade market, league office had concerns about Pels forcing a healthy star to sit out the rest of the season. Still, the Pelicans decided they wanted him back on the floor, which Davis wanted too, i.e. the NBA Players Association. As we turn to Chris Black, my partner on our For the Love of the Pod NBA podcast we do every month, part of our ESPN 1000 staff, and he joins me here in our trade special here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hello, Chris.
Jonathan, last night I was listening to you dissect the Otto Porter trade for the Chicago Bulls, and I thought you did a fantastic job, because the thing that needs to be pointed out with everything going on with the Bulls, and I was listening about 20 minutes ago to what you were saying, is it starts from the top. People can be mad at John Paxson and Gar Foreman and the direction of the franchise, but really, why have we not heard from Michael Reinsdorf? He's the one that's running all of this. It's his team. It's not Jerry's responsibility anymore. He's the one at the head. And for some reason, we've never heard from him. No one has gotten an interview with him. And a lot of it points directly back to the top to why this Bulls franchise is where it is. And I thought last night you painted a great picture to what's going on with this franchise.
All I was trying to say is that if my father gives me full autonomy of a team and says, okay, you run the team while I focus on the White Sox, what I would do is, okay, so if I've got the keys to the car, Kristen, I'm going to do what I think is best, which means a fresh set of eyes for the organization. I don't have to be loyal like my father. I can have John Paxson still be around as an ambassador or have a say in the organization, but I have to have someone that has an ultimate say. If Gar still wants to be a pseudo, you know, a pseudo guy that just goes around from gym to gym and be like a super scout, he could do that too. But, and they can have the titles, but I need to have a fresh set of eyes. And if I'm Michael, I do exactly what Rocky Wirtz did. You know, when his father passes away, he does something totally different. Different is not bad. The same is got to, gives you the same direction the last 21 years.
Yeah. And I think Bulls fans are tired of it. And, you know, I don't really understand why the Bulls met the media today, because nothing they said made it a whole lot of sense. Like, from everything from Gar saying that the Bulls fan base just wants instant gratification, like, where did that come from? I mean, all Bulls fans are doing and all you and I are doing is reacting to what they're doing, right? Like, it's not us saying we want instant gratification. Many of us wanted the Bulls to tank last year. Wanted the Bulls to tank this year. We understand how to build a championship team, especially when you go out and admit that free agents don't want to sign here. Okay, so what? Instant gratification, we're ready for a full-on teardown and tank session from the Chicago Bulls. But for some reason, last year, at the, you know, you get off to a 3-20 start, and then you go on a December where you win 11 games after you trade Jimmy Butler, to tell us that you have all this cap space and that you're going to rebuild this thing from the bottom up, and then you come back with a haul of Otto Porter and Zach LaVine as your free agents that you've used that cap space for. And you missed out on Luka Doncic because you won too many games last year. And there's a possibility you might lose out on Zion Williamson as well this year. So instant gratification, what in the world was he talking about today?
You know my relationship with Gar Foreman, right? And Gar Foreman and his family also knows that what I'm saying here is not personal. It's all business. So, and you're aware of it too. So, but I will tell you, and I will tell Gar, it's completely arrogant and completely disconnected. It's easy for him to say that from the 10th tee box or whatever golf course that he attends and living the good life. But as I tweeted, it's totally an embarrassing statement. And I really think he should think before he speaks to say that people want instant gratification. Hell, look how many years of ineptitude that the Bulls have gone through. Instant gratification. No, it's not about 1 year. It's about all these years. It's about three rebuilds. So I just thought that that was a very unfortunate, arrogant statement. And if that's how the Bulls feel, then, you know, people at the United Center have to understand, like, if that's the perception that's on the West Side about your fan base wanting instant gratification, that says a lot for what's going on with the organization and the perception of it.
Okay, and then so now that we're dissecting the nonsense that we heard from the Bulls front office today, so then you got John Paxson arguing the amount of rebuilds that he's had a chance to be a part of. Like, what took place today between their press conference and the radio hit in town that John Paxson had earlier today saying that it was an interrogation and not an interview.
Yeah.
Well, listen, no one is happy that your franchise isn't succeeding in the NBA. We're watching teams that don't traditionally win do everything they can humanly possible to try and get players to win. The Clippers, the Knicks, teams that have historically been horrific in the league, they are doing things to get a meeting with free agents, to clear the decks for cap space, to make the right move. I get it. Not all of it works out. I understand that. But for that, for the Bulls to be arguing with people about the amount of times they get to rebuild this franchise, it is just incredible to me that people continue to follow and blindly pay, like blindly just believe what they tell you, because it's not true. What they're doing is a gigantic con job on the Chicago Bulls fan. Because, you know, what they do is they tell you one thing and then they completely change what they're doing to come back at it. Right? Like, you and I sat at the Advocate Center for multiple drafts and they told us, we're planning for the future. We're going to have cap space. Nobody else in the league will have cap space. You know why? We're smarter than everyone else in the league. We know that there is going to be an adjustment and teams are going to spend too much, and we're going to be the only ones at the end of the day with cap space to go out and sign free agents. What happened to that cap space? What happened to that?
Right.
Well, where was that pick? Like, what, and why do Bulls fans continue to believe what they're saying? Because what they're saying does not match up with their actions. And it's frustrating as hell, because then they come out and they're chesty about it. And it's like, listen, it's not an interrogation if we're just giving you the facts on your actions. You can be upset at the end results, because we all are, but it's just an embarrassment that people still believe in what they say because the end results do not match what they say.
Chris Black from our staff here at ESPN 1000 and part of the For the Love of the Pod podcast that Chris and I do on the NBA every month. He's with me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So who won the day as far as the trade deadline is concerned? I have a team written down. Which team do you choose?
I'll choose the Toronto Raptors, because I think Marcus Gasol really takes them to another level that we already knew that they were probably going to be one of the best teams at the end of the day in the Eastern Conference. But I really think Marcus Gasol in the center for the Raptors takes them to a whole nother level, and it also puts them in a spot where now they have something to show Kawhi at the end of the day this summer that, listen, we are building around you. Kyle Lowry's here. Gasol's here. This team is the best team in the Eastern Conference. We could probably get to the finals, and you know that Gasol against the Warriors might be a mismatch, because who knows how that plays with DeMarcus Cousins and how that works. So I really like what Toronto did.
Really like what the Sixers have done. That starting five of Simmons, Redick, along with Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, and Embiid is solid, and also being able to ship the number one pick, Markel Fultz, to the Magic. I think that was pretty good for them as well. And I guess a close second for me would be Milwaukee. I mean, you can't – here's the thing. I don't know if Milwaukee will hold on and be the number one team in the Eastern Conference before it's all squared away and they take on the Warriors, but I do know that is more shooting the better. And I think that the Miritich pickup for the Bucks really helped what they do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, the way – that Budenholzer and the Bucks have played this year is spread the floor, put shooters around Giannis Antetokounmpo and allow him to create and then dish it out. So adding Miritich allows another shooter, and it allows Milwaukee to be even more dangerous than they are. They're great defensively, and you can see the offensive numbers. I think they're the only team in the league this year that's top 10 in both offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. So, I mean, listen, the arms race in the Eastern Conference, people can't go with the lazy narrative that the Eastern Conference is easy anymore, because every team has jumped up and tried to make their team better, especially at the deadline, adding pieces, knowing that they have a shot to win a title because LeBron's no longer in the conference. That full circle makes it even more frustrating that the Bulls are just not trying.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what's so frustrating about this, is that if you planned ahead and you wanted to be a part of the Anthony Davis sweepstakes, or if you wanted to be a part of someone signing here, a high-level free agent, now is the time, because the Eastern Conference can be had. But the Bulls are bowing out because people go to the United Center, and you get 57,000 years to rebuild your team 80,000 times, and it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. So congrats to the Sixers and the Celtics and the Raptors and the Bucks. Have fun. We will take our season ticket sales, and we will go play golf for the rest of the summer.
It's really something. It really
well,
is.
Well, I mean, Jonathan, let me ask you this. Mm. You and I, sitting at the Advocate Center for the draft show, behind the scenes, people, and I know Nick Friedel talked about it this morning on Cap and Company with me earlier today. People behind the scenes were very confident that the out card for this rebuild was landing Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they want to admit it or not, but people over there in this city thought Anthony Davis would be coming back to the Bulls. He'd be coming back to Chicago, and he'd play for the Bulls. And now you're not even a part of it because you couldn't even get your rebuild together. You heard the same things I heard that Nick heard.
Sure.
Right? Like, so to me, if you're out of free agency and free agency hasn't even started and you spent the money on Otto Porter because no one wants to sign here and Anthony Davis doesn't want to come here and all this stuff, that's a failure on you and the franchise. Is it not?
Yep.
Like, that's not a, well, players don't want to come here. They're, you know, they just want to go team up other places. They want to go play on the coast. They want to be with LeBron. No. You didn't get your business in order when everyone around there thought that that was the end game, was to get Anthony Davis to save the day. It's a complete failure.
It is terrible. It is. And that's why when I'm looking at all these other moves that's made in the Eastern and Western Conference, it just, you know, those stories are even more interesting what the Bulls are doing, that's for sure, because the Bulls story is the same as it always has been. And so it's just really unfortunate. You'll be on tomorrow for a Cap and Company with you, Adam, and Jason Goff making his debut on ESPN 1000. He already does shows nationally that you can hear here on the weekend, just like I do. But Jason will be in with you guys tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it should be a fun show, 9 to noon. Tomorrow we'll talk a lot of NBA fallout from the trade deadline and obviously what's going on with the Chicago Bulls. We'll play a lot of the Gar and John Paxson sound and react and kind of dissect the league tomorrow morning.
That's going to be a lot of fun because Jason loves the league and he's got a lot of connections. So this is why this is going to be a fun show tomorrow at 9 o'clock. So that you have fun with that because that's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, my friend. Maybe we'll do a podcast after the All-Star break because we need some separation here.
Why did they talk today? What was the point? What did they accomplish today?
I can't help you. I can't help you. You know why?
What was that?
You know why I can't help you?
Why?
Got a break.
Jonathan Hood. Tech they joints the nine nickels. Man, I stay on point like icicles. On ESPN 1000.
Hi, it's Jonathan Hood. I've got tickets for you. The Progressive International Motorcycle Show at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. See the latest model from the top power sports manufacturers. For tickets and details, visit motorcycleshow.com. Motorcycleshows.com. All kids 11 and under are free. If you want to go, this takes place between February 15th through the 17th at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. If you want to go to the International Motorcycle Show, I've got tickets. I got four packs of tickets. Between now and 10 o'clock, we're going to give those out. So stay by your listening device. If you want to win this for someone or if you want to go, listen closely. You're a motorcycle guy or woman, I got you. Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. If you want to go, listen how you can win tickets between now and 10 o'clock. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Antonio Daniels, NBA champion, will join us coming up next.
Listening to Jonathan Hood.
I'm all in my bag, as hard as it gets.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.